Hey, welcome to Exec Insider Secrets, made for busy leaders and entrepreneurs. In this podcast, we get to the source and the source of success. Hear from execs who bear all and share their insider secrets, along with my episodes aimed at optimizing your performance, productivity, success, and well-being. My name's Estelle Reed, and I'm an executive coach, trainer, and author at B. Okay, let's begin. So today I'm going to talk about how we overcome feelings, which take us towards what I refer to in my book as Destination Grim. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Now, if you're thinking, oh no, she's talking about feelings again, there is a clear and direct link between what we think, what we feel, and then the results that we're getting through our behaviour. And so if you're wanting to enhance performance, productivity, success, well-being, or happiness, then stay tuned in. More specifically, this is a real shout out to men in particular, those of you out there that are bottling feelings up. And I want you to know that you're not alone and that it's okay to emote and that other men are secretly getting help. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. And the reason this has come up as a topic is that over the weekend, we were really sorry to witness a young man threatening to take his own life. I was driving along a dual carriageway. I won't say which one, so that his identity is protected. And at first, I couldn't quite comprehend what I was seeing. You know how sometimes things occur, or it appears to occur, in slow motion. And as he approached the bridge, at first it just looked as though there was a man there simply taking time out, observing the scenery, maybe counting traffic or something like that. And also my daughter, she thought he was a traffic cop. But as I got closer, I realised he was stood on the wrong side of the barrier. He was perched on the ledge of the bridge. So his shoes, so if you can imagine, his shoes were just like, the tips of his shoes were like dangling off the edge. And he simply had his hands in his pockets, and it was as if he was just staring down blankly at the road. As we passed the bridge, I realised what I'd just seen. And all I could think was, don't jump, don't jump. I was in an absolute panic. Managed to immediately dial 999, but it was one of those scenarios where they put you on hold for a bit, and I was put in a queue. And all the time, again, I'm thinking, don't jump, don't jump, and I'm driving further and further away from the bridge. And then when I did speak to the call handler, who was an amazingly calm, wonderful woman, she said, I think she suspected I was feeling panicky. My voice was so shaky, I could hardly get my words out. My husband was like desperately searching, you know, on the map, on sat-nav, to identify, you know, what was the closest junction, what was the bridge we'd just driven under. Anyway, she said that several other people had called in too. Then my next thought was, right, okay, how can we go back to help? And I was frantically like thinking about what was the junction coming up, what would be the route that I would take. God knows what I thought I was going to do. I think in my mind I'd started imagining talking the poor guy down. I was also thinking about havening and all that kind of jazz. And it was just one of those moments, you know, when you realise that actually seconds and minutes really matter. And I wondered, you know, I was thinking, I wonder how long he's been up there, and but also how long it'd take for the police to arrive. So all of this, it, as I say, it was almost like time had slowed down. And then all of a sudden, several moments later, a police car went flying past in the opposite direction towards this bridge with its blue lights on. And I'm not kidding you, I nearly burst into tears with relief. I didn't realise what emotion I was hanging on to. Anyway, in the evening, I found it really hard to shift the sadness I felt for this man. And I started to wonder how had he got to this point in life? But deep down, I knew what led people to ending up this way because every once in a while, my executive coaching clients will stray into this territory. And so I started to think about some of those stories that they told me. Anyway, and in response to some of those stories that they tell me, I tell them about the infamous Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. And on average, 30 people commit suicide each year off that bridge. Now, 95% of those sadly die, but those that survive have said the minute their hand left the rail of the bridge, they regretted it immediately. We have a saying in our house, which is states of mind come and go like a bad smell, and that kind of links back to the hand leaving the rail on the bridge, doesn't it? That quick state change. And if only they'd waited a little while longer. And sometimes it's a case of just riding those feelings out, knowing that they will end some point. But then on other occasions, it is time to get help, isn't it, folks? I have what I refer to as my secret men's club. It's not really a club, but I call it that because when men in particular come to session, they end up talking about their innermost thoughts and processing feelings that they wouldn't want anyone else to know about. Years ago, I remember going to an event where the great and the good of the city I live nearby were all penned in behind this white picket fence, and it was like a VIP area. And I'm not kidding you, there were about a dozen or so men giving me sideways glances as if to say, "Don't approach me. I don't want other people knowing that I've worked with you." And so I obviously gave them respectful distance and gave them secret nods and winks back. And this is because when they signed up for coaching, they wanted to optimize their success, productivity, performance, which are all very safe, strong and macho topics, aren't they? Discussions around the well-being and connections to the results they're getting are often not mentioned early on in their agenda. They don't make those connections. And that's because they've not realized that often it's the inner stuff, so in other words, state of mind, limiting beliefs and feelings, getting in the way of outer stuff, i.e. behaviors and the results that they're getting either in work or life. My clients rarely tell anyone about the coaching because there's still this stigma around men talking about the feelings. It can be a bit of a marketing challenge, I'll tell you now. I admit things are getting better when it comes to mental health, certainly on social media. People and men are starting to open up, but even some of my female clients can find it hard to let the barrier down. And it's often they've just been used to being strong, but they end up being strong for too long, and then they end up where they reach this tipping point, and that's how they end up in my coaching chair or on the other side of the coaching screen, as it is for a lot of clients these days. As my clients start to unbottle, they'll say things like, "I've never told anyone about this before." And I'll reassure them and say, "Look, the office walls have heard many similar stories and you're safe." I mean, I even set up this podcast, Exec Insider Secrets, to help people realize that most human beings, both male and female, have limiting beliefs, behaviors, and feelings. And that you can resolve them. You can get to the other side. The other side being destination joy as opposed to destination grim. And destination joy being whatever you want it to be. More success, more happiness, more well-being, more efficient, more effective, more productive, you name it. And the thing is with these limiting beliefs, behaviours and feelings, they're just outdated programmes which were set up in our childhood and no longer serve us. And the good news is they can be got rid of using Havening. And the thing is that with feelings, men and women are made to emote. Our feelings trigger our behaviour. It's when we get trapped in this cycle of not carrying out the undesired behaviour, so thinking about how we don't want to be something, which takes a lot of effort, doesn't it, folks? Or suppressing a feeling, which also takes effort. But the end result is that we end up, damaging our well-being. I'm always, on the one hand, surprised, but also not surprised when clients tell me that conditions, pain, illnesses magically disappear as a result of clearing emotional issues. And the thing is, when we don't deal with those feelings, or we pretend that we don't have feelings, it's the equivalent of taking a warning light bulb out of a dashboard and hoping that the problem will go away. You wouldn't do that with your car, would you, gentlemen? Well, I hope you wouldn't. And we shouldn't do the same with our feelings. We shouldn't suppress, we shouldn't ignore them. They're there, they serve a purpose, and as I say, they can get resolved. Anyway, as we continue to our destination, I explained to my daughter that what we just witnessed was quite upsetting. It was actually really traumatic. And if she wanted to talk about it, we could do. And this is because feelings that don't get processed effectively stay with us. And then they just get re-triggered when our brain spots a similar context. I have numerous conversations with my clients about that. You know, take for example, someone who's having difficulty speaking up in meetings, somebody who's having difficulty presenting. All that's going on there is that they're being re-triggered often to a horrible event at school where they were publicly humiliated or shamed for having said something in class, everybody looking at them, and then them feeling like they get things wrong. And of course, what the brain will naturally guide you to do is to avoid those situations. So that's what I mean about suppressing behaviours or trying to suppress that emotion when you're mid-presentation. It takes way too much energy and effort, doesn't it? Anyway, in my mind, I was thinking, this event needs to be effectively processed with my daughter. So as human beings, we are particularly vulnerable in our childhood, most importantly between the ages of 0 and 7, but also push that out to the ages of 21, because during that period of time, our personality is forming, and that's where all our patterns of behaviour, our beliefs, our feelings that can then be re-triggered are being laid down. Anyway, again, in my mind, I'm thinking, right, we don't want that for her. I as an adult, that felt traumatic, but it was something that I was able to process effectively. I didn't want my daughter to become anxious all of a sudden during car journeys or whenever she passed under a bridge, because her brain would make that connection and connect it back to the time when she saw the man on the bridge. Anyway, on Sunday evening, my daughter approached me and she said that she was struggling to stop thinking about the poor guy on the bridge. And again, this is an indication of trauma when we're trapped in a thought loop, when we have the same recurring thoughts about something or the same recurring feelings. So if you catch yourself having repeated feelings about something, then that could be an indication that Havening would be useful. Anyway, by now, my daughter, who is now 12, she knows the routine. And I said, look, do you want to haven it? And she said, yeah, let's do it. And she texted a mate and delayed going out to play with a friend. She said, I'm going to be 20 minutes. That's all it took, folks. In fact, it took less than 20 minutes. And we got to work. So from my perspective, I have trained in so many techniques. I'm obviously a qualified coach, but I became an NLP practitioner, master practitioner, trainer of NLP, became a hypnotherapist, EFT, emotional freedom technique, integral eye movement therapist, and then I found havening. Now for me, havening is the magic silver bullet, and I'm going to explain how you can use this technique for yourself, and it really is so quick, so easy, so effective to use. It's also really calming as well. So here are the instructions. Number one, you think about the event momentarily. Now, the small print here is don't go thinking or trying to haven really traumatic childhood events yourself, or adult trauma either. What I would recommend is that you do seek out a qualified havening practitioner. So as long as we're not working in that territory, think about the event momentarily. That's the first step. Step two is to score the level of feelings you have about this event out of 10. 10 is the strongest negative feeling you could have. Step three, then simply rub the palms of your hands and rub the palms of your hands together for 7 minutes whilst distracting yourself. Now I have Alexas over the house. I said that very quietly because I was bothered I was going to set it off in the office just then. And so I just set a timer on that. So rub the palms of your hands for 7 minutes whilst distracting yourself. My daughter literally sat there and watched another episode of Come Dine With Me. And then you repeat the last three steps again. So keep repeating the above steps until your score reduces to zero. Now, zero means you have no feelings about this event. Instead, what's happened is it's become a fact as opposed to an emotionally charged memory, which is triggering either a negative belief, behaviour, or feeling in you. So my daughter was right as rain, as I say, less than 20 minutes, and she happily trotted off out to play, having watched, squeezed in, another episode of her favourite programme. In my book, Inner Brilliance, Outer Shine, 10 Antidotes to Imposter Syndrome, Workaholism and Stress, by the way, it's going to be published on the 25th of March, 2022. Whoop, whoop. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. But yeah, as I say, it's not out just yet. But in my book, I explain that we're like ships travelling to a destination, and sometimes we've got too much baggage on board, which creates drag on our ship. And this also tarnishes our shine. It makes us inefficient, ineffective, because we're weighed down by limiting beliefs, behaviours, and feelings. And it can stop us getting to our desired destination. What do I mean by our desired destination? Our goals, our dreams, our ambitions, or destination joy might simply be you being the happiest that you can be. So one of the antidotes to this is to use havening to lighten your load, enabling you to shine more, because if you're released from those limiting beliefs, behaviours and emotions, you can then travel efficiently, effectively, more focused towards this destination joy, whatever that might be for you. When I talk to people about havening, some will say, oh, I can't be bothered and I don't have the time. I don't want to sit there and talk about my childhood. In all honesty, that's not what we do when I work with people. I will literally listen to the problem statement, listen to the language, and I'll say, can you think of a time in the past when you felt whatever it was you're feeling? And we go back, they access the event, and they follow that protocol that I've just shared with you. Now, people saying they can't be bothered and they don't have time. However, I will challenge them by questioning, actually, how much time, effort, and energy does it take to suppress or distract yourself from those feelings and behaviours? Going back to, I use the example of presenting or being in meetings, you know, having to mentally manage yourself so that you're not triggered either into feeling that public humiliation and shame, for example. Or it might be at the other spectrum, sometimes people can feel angry in meetings and therefore become blunt, challenging and disruptive in meetings. Imagine having to psychologically and mentally manage those feelings and behaviours. That takes a lot of effort, doesn't it? And, you know, the reality is, if you've been triggered by past stuff, you can just get rid of it. Just get rid of it in the first place so that you then slot back into your context without that baggage and you achieve your outcomes quicker, easier, is that a word? More easy and quicker. Anyway, if this is you and you can connect to what I've said, why don't you book a free coaching discovery session? You will see a link below this podcast where you can do that. You know, be brave. So, you know, be strong, be macho, and see it as being brave by admitting that actually you might need a bit of help. If you're wondering what happened to the guy on the bridge, he was saved and he received treatment. And folks, you know, aren't our police force living heroes? I know sometimes they get bad press, but for me, I was just like, flipping heck, you know, facing and dealing with trauma like that on a daily basis. You know, I take my hat off to them. If any of these topics have piqued your interest and you'd like to optimise your performance, productivity, success or well-being, here's the next steps. You could book a free coaching discovery meeting with me, but please bear in mind I have a limited number of sessions available each month. Perhaps you want to get to know me a bit more. See the link below to book and or connect with me on social media. I am Estelle Reed, executive coach, trainer and author at Bee, and this has been Exec Insider Secrets. Thanks for listening.